You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, folks. Well, I've done it this time. I have really screwed up royal. I got too many irons in the fire. I got a radio station going 24 hours a day. I had a television station going, about 15 hours a day, something like that. I got videotapes I'm trying to capture and edit. I've got research I'm doing. I'm trying to finish my second book to get it off to the publisher. We've got several websites that we're working on and orders to fill and things that we have to record to put up on the website as archive programs so that you people can go and listen to them, should you so desire. And I need about 400 more arms. I need about three times the energy that I have. I need about a couple hundred more sets of legs. I need at least a two or three more brains. You know, I got to have one sleeping while the other four or five are working. Ay, Chihuahua. And it's fitting that I should tell you about all this because it's Memorial Day. And this is all in the service of my country, so if I work myself into the grave within the next few days, you guys can remember me on next Memorial Day. I hope that you have all done what is supposed to be done on Memorial Day, and that is remember all of those who have fought and died in the service of the Republic, not the United Nations. I have no sympathy whatsoever for American troopers who go to fight the United Nations war and get killed. If they're dumb enough to do that, then what can I say? But all of those who truly fought and died in defense of the Republic, the principles and ideals that this nation was founded upon for freedom, for opportunity, for truth, for the nation that the founding fathers built. And don't write me any letters telling me how heartless I am because I don't care if somebody dies in the service of the United Nations. I don't. In fact, anybody in the service of the United Nations is ultimately in the service against this republic, against me, against freedom. They're fighting actually for one world totalitarian socialist government. If I had my way, they'd all get killed. Or else they'd come to their senses, which is the number one choice that I would have. They would come to their senses and stop it. Stop it. Nope, I got no sympathy for caskets draped in UN blue. None at all. None at all. Will not remember them. Don't even care to know their names. And if they're members of the United States military forces, then as far as I'm concerned, when they put on a blue UN hat and went off to fight the United Nations wars, they committed treason. Treason. So, up their nose with a rubber hose. And you could write 5 million letters, wouldn't change my mind. Not for one second. Not for a second. I have a big glass of sun tea. I make my sun tea with jasmine tea. Now, if you've never had sun tea, folks, you are in for a big treat. You need to, especially if you like tea. If you don't like tea, you may not like sun tea. but I know people who don't like tea normally who love sun tea. It tastes totally different than tea that's brewed, you know, by boiling water on the stove and pouring it over a tea bag or into a tea pot with an infuser in there full of tea. It's delicious. Anybody can make it. It's very simple. And you can make it with any kind of tea you want. And you have to experiment depending on the kind of tea bags you're using, because you have to use tea bags unless you've got a big infuser. Because you need a gallon jug. You need to go to your grocery store, and you know up there on the top shelf you see these big giant glass jars that hold about a gallon or 2 gallons. That's what you need to make sun tea. And it's got to be a glass jar. Cannot be plastic or anything else. It's got to be glass. It's okay if it has a plastic lid. Most of them have a plastic lid with a lift-up thing that covers the spout hole. And a lift-up handle so you can carry it. And don't worry about carrying it with the handle. The ones that I've always had, you can carry a full jug of tea with that handle, no problem, as long as you have the lid screwed on really good. And you fill it up with good water. Mountain spring water, right out of the ground, is the best. And we got plenty of that up here. But you can use tap water, or you can use water that you buy in the store. It doesn't matter. Fill it up to within about an inch of the top. If you're going to use regular tea that most people use, Lipton's Orange Pekoe Tea is what it's usually called, then buy the big box that has the family bags in it. And all you need is 4 of those family bags, and you put them in there and drape the little strings over the side, screw the lid on, set it out in the sun for about 3 hours, and that's all you need. And voila, sun tea. You can use any kind of tea. I use jasmine tea in there, the small tea bags, so I have to use 10 of those. And if you use some other tea, you know, just experiment. Start off with 5 tea bags. If that's too weak, the next time you make it, you know, add the number that you think is going to make it to your taste, etc., etc. If you're using the big family size bags, though, all you need is 4. That works really good. Just thought I'd throw that in because I'm sitting here having a nice, big, tall, refreshing glass of sun tea, and I think everybody should be entitled to enjoy that particular, to me it's something really special. And I make it just about every day through the summer. I don't know what I would do without it, to tell you the truth. And in the winter, I have my Yuban 100% Colombian coffee every morning. And sometimes I get a little thirst for coffee in the morning during the summer, but not usually. When it's warm, I like my sun tea. So tonight, I want to take your calls and talk about what you think about Memorial Day. Who did you think about? What was your what was the gist, I should say, of your Memorial Day? Good evening. You're on the air.
Good morning. Good evening, Mr. Cooper, I should say. By the way, happy Memorial Day.
Well, thank you.
And by the way, your description of iced tea was just absolutely perfect.
This sounds like Route 66, man.
No. This is not this Wayne from North Carolina.
Oh, Wayne. You sound just like a friend of mine.
Oh, no, I don't know. I'm from North Carolina. I'm not.
Okay.
But anyway, your prescription and subscription for iced tea sounds just exactly correct for today. And I just wanted to say I enjoy the show a lot. That's about all I had to offer.
What'd you
and,
do?
I just wanted to call.
What'd you do for Memorial Day?
What I do for Memorial Day? Well, I fished a little bit, but we didn't catch anything.
Did you remember anybody?
Did I remember anyone?
Yeah.
I remember my dad. My dad was a veteran of World War II. He's in the Marines, and he was on Saipan. He was Jima in Okinawa.
Oh, he was in the
and,
worst
he
ever.
Was a really rough, tough character. He came out unscathed, but he was a...
he went through Saipan and Iwo Jima. I bet he had to be a rough character because The wimps didn't survive those battles.
No, but I mean, he was a really fine American, a fine Marine. And I do remember my dad here on this Memorial Day. He was a proud Marine.
Well, good for him.
That's all I have, Mr. Cooper.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
520-333-4578. Give us a call. Tell us who you remembered for Memorial Day and why. I remembered quite a few people. A lot of my relatives who fought and died in World War II in Korea. Some who didn't die, but nevertheless gave quite a bit. World War I, my grandfather was gassed with mustard gas and pretty much ruined him for the rest of his life. Although he died at 86 of old age, he was hurt pretty bad by that mustard gas. He didn't live a good life. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Steve in Pennsylvania here.
Hi, Steve.
How you been?
Okay.
Yeah, I was just sitting here and happened to catch your show, and I certainly appreciate the topic. Memorial Day is a very important holiday for me.
Well, unfortunately, most people think it's a holiday to go camping and fishing and cook wieners on the barbecue, and they never even give it a thought.
Well, I think there's room for fun. It doesn't have to be totally solemn, because if you're celebrating freedom...
No, I'm not criticizing people for having fun also, but I am criticizing those who never give the purpose of the day a thought.
Boy, that's right on the money, I'll tell you.
And I'd say that's probably 90% of the American people.
Well, the vast majority, no doubt.
Yeah.
I happened to take part in a nice parade and memorial service in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania today.
Oh, tell us about it. That sounds very interesting.
Well, they've been doing it 130-some years now, every year. That was a pretty good crowd. The streets were lined, and I happen to own a military vehicle, a 1951 M38 that I like to show off in parades.
So uh-huh.
I took it through the parade, and then the service at the Gettysburg National Cemetery was very impressive. And that was one group of people who were remembering, undoubtedly.
Sure.
The Civil War dead buried there. It's a very startling realization to see row upon row.
Yeah, I had family members who fought on both sides of that conflict.
Yeah, there are a few Confederate soldiers buried there, but the majority were taken home.
I remember when I was a young boy, I don't remember how old I was, but it was in the early 50s. It was in the early 50s, I got to see the last... I forget if it was two or three living Confederate Civil War veterans. They had a parade in Biloxi, Mississippi, and the last living Confederate Civil War veterans who were boys when they fought in the war were in that parade.
Well, that's a memory to hold. At today's event, there was a World War I veteran. They're getting very rare these days.
Yep, they are.
About 102 years old, but looking pretty good, and I gave him a kind word and said, thanks very much for coming out and giving us a chance to meet you. It was a proud moment, and I just wanted to let you know that that was one little corner of America that got a firm hold on Memorial Day.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Have a good evening.
You too. 520-333-4578 is the number. I forget how old those guys were. I was just a boy. I think I was maybe in the fifth grade. Couldn't have been more than the fifth grade. And we went from the Azores, where we lived for 3 years, to Biloxi, Mississippi for just a few months while my father went to some school at whatever Air Force base is there. And then we went to Oklahoma, to Midwest City, where my father was stationed at Tinker Air Force Base for 3 years. And I went to a brand new junior high school called Monroney Junior High School in Midwest City, Oklahoma. And then we went to Japan. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Joe from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Joe.
And I was thinking actually about my uncle, still living. His name is Ted Moran. Ohio, survivor of the Bataan Death March.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was. Did you ever read the story of that?
Yeah, I did.
There's several good ones. There's some written by people who were in it, some written by people who researched it and talked to the survivors and the Japanese who participated too. That was incredible that anybody survived it.
Yeah, pretty amazing that he managed to escape, and I believe he lived approximately a year and a half in the jungle.
In the jungle, yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't a good life either.
Yeah. Back, and apparently, I think he weighed about 90 pounds when he got back.
Well, that sounds about right.
Yeah. But that's what I was thinking about him today.
Well, good for you.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'd love to hear. I would imagine that there are probably a few guys out there who may even be listening right now. I'd love to hear from some of the veterans, actually. And any of them particularly have been in that. I think there's a coordination-wide group that gets together.
Yeah, most veterans don't like to talk publicly about their experiences, though. I find it very difficult to talk about mine. And the couple of occasions that I've ever done it was very hard.
Certainly thank you for taking the time to listen.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 to know. Yeah, my brother's the same way. Whenever he starts talking about his service, he got the Silver Star in Vietnam. Whenever he starts talking about it, and it's awful hard to get him to talk about it, but when he does, he talks real low and real slow and not very long and always ends with eyes full of tears. 520-333-4570. Who did you remember on Veterans Day and why? Well, the phone is not ringing. Maybe, you know, I'm talking to the 90%. I don't know. Oh, my goodness. This is not good. You mean that you guys didn't think about all the people who fought and died for this country and you don't have anything to call and talk about? Is that what's going on here? As it is, it's a sad day in Black Rock. Got to tell you. Bad day, Black Rock. Good evening, you're on the air. Hello? Oh, boy. Here we go with one of those. A clown. 520-333-4578 is the number. Memorial Day, folks, is not for what a lot of people think it is. It's to remember those who fought and died for the Republic. Good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing, Mr. Cooper?
Good.
Well, today I did think of some folks. I had an uncle. He's passed away now. He's been gone for, I guess, about 20 years. He fought in World War II, and he was island hopping in the Pacific. And I remember when I was a youngster, he gave me his... He was in the U.S. Marine Corps. He gave me his knife. That he had when he was in World War II
mm-hmm.
in the Marine Corps. And I still have that knife. And, I keep it. It's in safekeeping. But every now and again, I'll take it out and I'll remember, you know, my Uncle Jim. And, he used to tell me, some of the things that happened to him in World War II when they were island hopping in the Pacific. I thought about him. And, you know, I served 6 years in the United States Army myself, but I served under Ronald Reagan, which was peacetime, so I didn't have to fight in any wars.
Uh-huh.
But, I thought about my time in the military service. I was proud to serve my country, although I was not awake to the reality of the world situation the way it really was. I was proud to serve my country, you know.
Yeah, we don't always know what we're serving, and in the tradition of those who serve, we adopt this proud attitude that we're serving our country, and sometimes we're not.
Yeah.
And, fortunately, you didn't have to do any of that. There's lots of our military people who are not serving this country today. They're serving world government. And that's disgraceful.
Yeah, and there's very few that are standing up. One of them that are, of course, is Michael New.
Yep.
A courageous young man who did fight it. And but you're right, the overwhelming majority, they're going lockstep into this United Nations.
Yeah. And it's an all-volunteer force now, which means that most of the ones who are serving aren't serving for patriotic reasons. The person who registered for the draft and was drafted and went in and took his physical and went and did his time, he was serving for patriotic reasons. A lot of people who volunteer are also serving for patriotic reasons, but most of them aren't. It's a good way to be taken care of very well for 20 years and get a real nice, comfortable retirement.
Yeah, they're basically paid mercenaries.
They're socialists is what they are.
Yeah. If I were a young man, 18 years old, getting out of high school today and looking at the military and what it does under the United Nations banner, I couldn't do it. Back then, when I joined in 1979, we weren't flying under the United Nations banner anywhere. But now it just seems like, Desert Storm was the United Nations operation. What we did in Yugoslavia, Haiti, everywhere we go, it's we're doing it under the UN banner. And
yeah.
And it's just, it's so obvious right now, what's taking place that, I couldn't in good conscience go into the military and serve.
Yeah.
And that's sad to say.
It is sad to say, but they're not serving this country anymore. And I get it news for you. Our military is how can I put it? Almost destroyed. I guess there isn't any other way. Our military is destroyed. And if the communist Chinese had a way to land their army on these shores, our military could not protect us. It would be the citizens would have to do it.
Yeah.
It's been destroyed, literally.
I know.
I saw a television program not long ago about the training for Marine boot camp, United States Marines. And I sat there and I watched it and I had this sinking feeling in my chest. Those weren't Marines. That was pathetic. The guys that I served with in Vietnam were Marines. These guys who are serving today are not Marines. I don't know how to describe it. You'd have to see that program. It was about an hour and a half long. And it showed went through with the men and the women. They're separated into two groups and shows their training and what they went through and how they're treated and all that kind of stuff. I hate to say it, but these guys wouldn't have survived Taipan or Iwo Jima or Okinawa or any of those places. They wouldn't have survived, period.
Well, I've been hearing that a lot of the good patriotic American types are exiting out of the military because of the situation in there, that morale is bad, and what the Clintons have done to the military, that the good people are just getting out.
Sure, and it's not just because of that. It's also because of what they see that's being taught, and it's what they see that they're being required to do. And it's the political correctness, even in the military. It's not military anymore. It's an arm of the political correct Marxist, dialectic. it's sick. It is really sick. And they've hardly got any equipment anymore. They don't have what they need to fight a war. It's really sad.
I was listening to another radio talk show, and the guest made a good point that the veterans that fought in our past wars, the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World War One, even World War Two, if they were around today in America and to see what has happened to America,
Oh, they'd be ashamed, and they'd be very angry.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Cooper, it's been nice talking to you.
Well, thank you for calling.
Have a good evening.
Appreciate it. 520-333-4578. How was your Memorial Day? What did you do? Who did you think about and why? See, Memorial Day is set aside to remember so that their death will not have been in vain, to remember those who fought and died for the Republic. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is David from Ohio. I liked your last several comments with this past caller. When you realize that the military now has become a political arm of the Marxist state, maybe the best idea is for you to convince patriots, or I mean and veterans, to boycott any Memorial Day. That would draw...
Well, we can't boycott Memorial Day because that's boycotting those who fought and died for the nation. It's not about the military that's in service now. It's not about them. Memorial Day has nothing to do with people who are in service right now.
Well, even the past wars are kind of questionable. You know that.
Some of them are, yes, very much so.
Especially World War One and World War Two. The British got those are pretty wars for the British.
But it still does not negate the sacrifice that those men made. Really believing that they were fighting for their country. And I think World War II, even though we didn't have any business in that war, I think that was a good war that needed to be fought, and I think the people who fought it did a damn good job. It's just that after they got out, they quit fighting it and went on the dole. And, you know, they stuck their hand out.
Oh, yeah, I remember those guys. What do they call it, the 52... 30 club or something? They got 52.
I don't know. They all stuck their hands out and then, you know, and then stepped back on their laurels and let the country go to hell. The country's in the shape it's in right now, mainly due to World War One and World War Two veterans sitting back and saying, "Gimme, gimme, gimme! I fought for my country," and turning it into a socialist.
Hey, you said it very well. I. That's what I mean. Why shouldn't we then boycott it? And
because it doesn't take away from the sacrifice of the men who died. It's not about those who live. Don't get it confused.
About?
It's not about those who live.
Yeah.
It's about those who died, those who gave the ultimate sacrifice in service of their country.
But you see, everything's going on as normal. You say it very well, but the average person doesn't understand why. So
and they never will, so it doesn't make any difference to even talk to them. they don't give a damn in the first place.
If the true veteran patriots boycott Memorial Day...
You can't boycott a day set aside to honor the dead. You understand what I'm saying? Pick a day that honors the living. Pick a day that honors those who are responsible for all this crap. The dead are not responsible.
But you're not achieving anything because...
Yeah, I am. I'm honoring those who died in service of the Republic is what I'm achieving. And that's what I'm supposed to achieve. I'm not supposed to achieve anything else on this day. If I achieve something else on this day, then I've done a double good.
You know, I do sympathize with your injuries from Vietnam. I've been fortunate. I haven't lost any relatives in any of the wars. Almost. Still, I think we have to draw attention to something that's really wrong today by not...
Yeah, why do you need a special day to do that? I do it every day. Why do you need a special day to do that?
I agree with what you're saying, but see...
And what makes you think it would work? If I ask all the veterans in the United States and all the patriots in the United States to march with me next month on Washington, D.C., you know how many would show up?
Very few, yeah.
Probably about 25 or 30.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a disgrace.
Right, but
wouldn't it would be an embarrassment.
A lot of patriots listen to you and veterans. And so if Bill Cooper says, "Hey, we got a new paradigm here about this Veterans Day." Sure, we missed and we're sorry for
this.
The
is not this is this is not Veterans Day. This is Memorial Day.
Memorial Day. All right, I'm sorry. Memorial Day. I'm not as stupid really as I talk sometimes, Bill. I worked around intelligence officers.
Well, then don't open your mouth until you know what you're going to say.
Well, all right.
How can you say Veterans Day for Memorial Day?
It's just a slip of the tongue, you know?
That happens. Yeah, Bill Clinton does it all the time.
Yeah, I know. And,
something
has to be dramatic to draw people's attention to it.
What can be more dramatic than what's already happened? I mean, if Waco, Texas didn't draw people's attention to it, what makes you think a bunch of veterans sitting on their ass in a park protesting Memorial Day would do it?
I think it would.
I'm telling you right now, it wouldn't do a damn thing. Probably wouldn't even rate a mention on the news.
No, wait. All right, maybe it would, but it would wake up some...
Wouldn't wake up anybody. If Waco didn't wake them up, veterans sitting down in a park protesting with a bunch of signs isn't going to wake anybody up.
No, wait. Veterans are confused. You know, older veterans. They want to sit there and
they're not confused at all. They know that they get their money and their benefits and their medical care from the government, and they ain't going to do a damn thing to jeopardize that.
Bill, there's still a few who might be convinced.
If Waco, Texas didn't do it, Bill Cooper asking them to put up signs and sit in the park or march down Main Street isn't going to do it either. What in the world would ever make you think that it would?
Hey, I think you got to try. I know Waco is a, well, whatever the word is, a Waterloo or something to make people wake up, but I think you have to add a little more and support.
What?
Veterans.
But veterans what? Veterans aren't going to march against the government. They get their money from the government. They get their handout from the government. They're socialists on the dole.
But a lot of them
they get their medical care from the government.
That's right.
They're not going to do anything to piss off the government.
I know.
Then why do you keep saying it if you know you know?
You might.
You don't know. Or you wouldn't be.
You might get a few, Bill, that you don't know about.
Good night.
All right, good night.
Thanks for calling. Ain't going to happen, my friend. About the only thing you can get veterans to march against the government about is MIAs, POWs. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Wayne.
Hi.
Yeah, I went to a parade in Albany, New York today. And I was struck by public health. Getting out in a crowd, a cross-section of people who turned out, and particularly the young folks marching in the parade, the state of public health is not good.
State of public health is not good? Explain what you mean.
Pudgy. Poor posture.
Okay.
Poor, you know, bad complexion.
I could look at the picture of any crowd taken at any time in the history of the country and see the same thing.
Yeah, well, I say part of the problem is public health. And my suspicion is if you took a look at the young people being indoctrinated in the People's Liberation Army of China, that the public health in China right now is probably far superior to the public health.
It always has been, and that's just about in any Asian country, and it's mainly because of their diet and the fact that they really have to work for a living.
Absolutely.
Most Americans don't do any exercise in their work day. Most Orientals do.
Yeah. It doesn't bode well for the future, and it's the class of people who came off the farms of the United States and fought World War II were a much different crowd of people.
Yeah, I was thinking too about that my statement. If you take the pictures of the crowds on like Victory VJ Day, Victory over Japan, or VE Day, Victory over Europe,
vital people.
You'll see that most of them are thin and in shape. That's because all of the men went to fight the war.
Right.
And they were in shape by virtue of having been in military service. And almost everybody you see in those pictures are in uniform
right.
or have come back and are in their first set of civilian clothes. You can usually tell that because they don't fit very well.
Right.
But that's the only time. Any other time in history, if you look at the pictures of crowds, you see the same thing. You see overweight men and women, and
if you want to be really discerning, you take a look at the ears of the World War II generation.
Ears?
Yeah, the size of the ears. If you want to size up, you know, a population in terms of their constitution, their native vigor, you take a look at the ears of people from the World War II generation, and you take a look at the ears now of young people.
I've never heard this before in my life. What do ears have to do with it?
Well, it's a very traditional belief in the Orient that you can determine someone's constitution, particularly by the size of their ears. They would relate it directly to the ears being analogous to the kidneys. They look to a degree like the kidneys.
Now, I'm studying Chinese medicine right now,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't seen that anywhere yet. That doesn't mean I'm not going to see it further down the line, but
yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
When an Oriental physician sizes somebody up in the initial consultation, they will size them up in terms of looking at such things like that.
How do you know that?
Because I've studied it myself.
I just asked you, how do you know that? Did you read the book?
Or what? I follow you. No, I have, since being apprised of that and, you know, doubting it to a degree myself, I've come to start looking. And I can confirm, it's a tentative thing. I don't know for sure. But I think if you start looking around at the ears of people in the World War II generation and the ears of youth today, you'll see a decrease in the size overall, and you'll see a lessening of the lobe of the ear in particular.
Huh.
And
well, that's interesting. I don't know if what you're saying is true or not, but it's interesting.
I understand. Take a look at Al Gore, and he has what the Chinese call...
Oh, come on. You're going to subject me to torture? You're going to make me look at Al Gore?
He has what the Chinese call wolf ears. He has no lobes, and his ears point up and back.
Oh, that's Dr. Spock. You sure you don't have Dr. Spock confused with Al Gore?
Yeah, well, take a look at him. He has wolf ears.
Okay. All right, next time I see a picture of Al Gore, I'll do that. But what does that mean?
Oh, I think that the Chinese probably chose the term wolf on purpose. It probably is a person who tends to be avaricious and lacks wisdom, because somebody who has wisdom is, generally speaking, not overly avaricious.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, what I originally was calling to know was the public health situation, and it's fair to say that the franchised food industry and the large food processing corporations, which are in the forefront of the move towards transnational business, are, to my mind, with malice aforethought, creating foodstuffs. For example, you take a look at the company called Kraft Foods. They're pushing onto the populace foodstuffs which are designed.
What's all this got to do with Memorial Day? Why are you taking us way off track here?
Well, I don't.
Why don't you call in on the night when we're talking about health? I mean, you've got us way off on this cul-de-sac, and that's not where we're supposed to be tonight.
Well, I'll relate it right back. We cannot honor the men and some few women who have fallen in battle to protect this republic if we allow preceding generations to degenerate because of improper dietary practices.
Yeah, but you're fighting human nature. You see, it used to be that people had to work for a living. I mean, they really had to work. Today, they don't. And it is human nature to take the easy way out. If you can buy fast food and instead of spending an hour at the stove cooking a dinner, that's what most people are going to do. And you're not going to change that. And if they go to work and they sit at a desk, and if there's no reason for them to exercise in order to perform their work, they're not likely to do it during their time off and make work for themselves when they would rather be enjoying themselves. So you're fighting human nature. And
right.
That's not likely to happen. Gotta let you go.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, folks, whenever you try to fight human nature, you usually lose. That's why most diets don't work. You're fighting human nature. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Tim down in Red Rock, Texas.
Hi, Tim.
And today being Memorial Day, I'm not a vet, but I got down on my knees, and I thanked God for the vets that have died for this republic. And
yeah.
I wanted to call and thank you for your service to our republic in the service and now.
Well, thank you.
We need more people like you. We're in a mess. And
We are in a mess.
I live in a real small town.
Mm-hmm.
I went and hung out at the general store a little while today until I thanked the vet face to face. I wasn't satisfied until I did that today.
Well, good for you. That was a very nice thing to do.
I don't do a whole lot. I'm disabled, so I'm just fighting the information war down in my neck of the woods.
Well, we all have to fight however we can fight, but we have to fight however we can fight.
Right. Well, okay, that's really what I wanted to say is just thank you for your service in the past and now.
Well, thank you.
God bless you, Bill.
God bless you, too.
Good night, sir.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. I just wanted to say this morning when I ran the colors up the flagpole, thought about my father who fought in World War II and my grandfather who fought in World War I. And I'd like to say my grandfather also was gassed in the trenches in France during World War I with mustard gas.
Well, he might have been with my grandfather.
A good possibility. I don't have his scrapbook handy, but I couldn't pronounce the names of those places if I tried.
I can't. French is one language I couldn't speak. If my life depended on it, my tongue will just not twist in those directions. I still can't say mister.
I still have his scrapbook that covered all that. But I think probably the most moving today, I spent the day just working around the house, cleaning the kitchen, and I guess about 5 o'clock local time, I listened to family radio, and they put on the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and it was a particularly beautiful rendition. And I just kind of stopped what I was doing, and tears started to roll down my eye. And I have in my hallway was my father's. He used to have it in the house, in his house, is a painting of a Constitution soldier. The Continental soldier. And I kind of stopped while that music was playing, and I looked at that, and I just thought of all those that died in the Revolution. And at this point, I'd just like to request sometime in the future, if you could dig out a copy of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. I am extremely partial to it.
I just put it in the CD carrier as you were speaking, because I knew that's what you were going to do.
Well, God bless, and I'd like to thank all those that died and those that are still alive that fought for the freedoms that, unfortunately, we're losing, but maybe we'll wake up.
We're not losing them. We're giving them away.
Well, God bless, Bill.
Thank you. And thank you for calling. Yeah, I've got a real wonderful version of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, but that would take me too long to find it, so we'll close out with this version that I've got handy, real close here, and maybe if I can find the other one real quick while we're taking calls. Well, here it is. By God, I just found the best one. Okay. All right, I just found the best one. Okay. 520-333-4578. We'll close out tonight with the Battle Hymn of the Republic. That is a fitting, very fitting musical selection to play on to close out the hour of the time on Memorial Day. Let me see, which one is it? Okay, there it is. Okay. Oops. What did I do here? Darn it. 520-333-4578 is the number. So, give us a call. Good evening. You're on the air?
Yeah. On Memorial Day, I want you to remember the men of the USS Scorpion.
Say that again?
I want you to remember the men on the USS Scorpion that died in...
Submarine.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. I saw the Scorpion a couple months before on its mission in Lourdes, Spain. And the interesting thing was...
that was his last stop, wasn't it?
Pardon me?
Wasn't that his last... port of call, Rota, Spain?
It was, it was going on a mission, and they wouldn't allow him any liberty. That one fact I've never heard anywhere. I saw it, and I don't know what their mission was.
Well, you're never going to. I can tell you that right now. That's just something you will never know. They don't call it the silent service for nothing. I was in submarines. And it is the silent service. Very seldom does anything ever is anything ever disclosed about submarine operations ever, and I'm telling you right now, you'd be absolutely amazed at what they're really doing and what they've really done. You talk about some heroes. Amazing stuff.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper.
Thank you for calling, and thank you for bringing that up. Yes, we should remember the men of the Scorpion. Lost at sea with all hands. And to this day, nobody really knows absolutely for sure what happened, even though the United States Navy believes that they found the cause and corrected it. Hopefully, they're right. 520-333-4578 is the number. You see, when something goes wrong with a submarine underwater, that's usually the last thing that ever goes wrong. 520-333-4578. What did you do on Memorial Day? Who did you remember? And why? Waiting for you. You know who you are. I can look right through this microphone, put my eye right up here, see right through the cord, goes through the mixing board, up through the Comrex, and out across the country, through the phone lines, to WBCQ, out over the airwaves, down your antenna into your radio, and I'm looking at you right through your speaker. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I saw you before you... I saw you go and dial the phone. I was watching the whole time.
That's pretty good. Well, today on Memorial Day, I remembered... all those souls I've seen leave this planet in the jungles of Vietnam through July and walking long range reconnaissance patrol, and those men that were blown up by landmines and booby traps, and I saw many, many souls leave the planet, and I don't know their names, but I certainly thank them, and I remember them in my heart and mind each and every day, and wonder why it wasn't me too, but I realize that the freedoms we have now on this planet are because of them and how wonderful it is. But then I come home and I turn cable on and you watch a movie or something, you see how Hollywood portrays those people smoking dope. And
you were in Vietnam, weren't you?
Yes, sir.
And it wasn't like that, was it?
No, it was nothing like that.
And no, so it sure wasn't.
People brainwashed into believing that it was like that. Yeah. But believe me, there was no color barriers. There was none of that going on at all.
No.
No racism. We were brothers, and we were out there when we were fighting a war in that stinking, filthy jungle, and we did it with honor, and we'll continue to be soldiers all the rest of our life, because they can't take that from us.
That's true. And Oliver Stone, if you're listening, I want to say this on the air. I've said it before. I want to say it again. You're a despicable, stinking liar. You hear me, Oliver Stone, and the rest of you jerks in Hollywood who want to degrade the American soldier. American soldiers in Vietnam were like American soldiers anywhere else. They were in the military. They were in the military. They had non-commissioned officers above them and officers above them. They ate, slept, worked, and died together. They didn't do any of those things. If an American soldier smoked a joint, he went off by himself and smoked a joint, because if he'd have got caught, he would have been court-martialed, or worse. If he'd have been in the field, he might have been shot. So, thank you for bringing that up.
Yes, Bill, people don't realize what it's like to hold a man in their arms on his dying. He's set on a landmine or something, he's blown in half, and he's dying, and he's going into shock, and he's relaying these things to you, saying that all our friends that left before us are hovering over the battlefield, watching us, encouraging us all the time he's leaving, and how wonderful. I've never been so close to death, but that's the only time I really was alive, I do believe, is just being that close to death. And
well, we all know about that, don't we? I talked about that on a couple of occasions. Very hard to explain it to people who've never experienced it. You're more alive than at any other time in your life, because you know that any second you could be dead.
Yes, and thank you, Bill, for serving. I love you, and thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Yep, and a real hot beer tastes damn good. It's like walking on a razor blade. Light is brighter. Everything is more beautiful. Nothing escapes your sight or your hearing. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill Cooper.
Yes.
Yeah. I spent Memorial Day. I always spend Memorial Day going around to the different grave sites of my family, and one was my uncle James Miller. He was in Vietnam. He served. And he died of just about everything, you know. He had lupus and cancer and kidney disease and you name it. He got into something, and all these specialists were coming around, you know. But I remember him because I was the waif in the 60s, you know, and my family all looked forward to him coming back home. He went back on a second tour of duty on his own.
But you were right the first time, second tour of duty.
Well, yeah, but... you know, he gave it his all, and I remember that because he would come back, and, you know, he'd bounce me up and down on his knee, and, boy, we sure were glad to see him, and now he's gone.
Yeah.
But we sure do remember him.
It's Agent Orange that does all those things to us.
You better believe it, and, you know, until I listened to your broadcast, I never really realized, you know, I think of it in my own mind. I never heard you say this, but I think that... my family used to tell me, gee, he has all these specialists coming from all over the country. Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking, they're studying the effects of this stuff.
It's Agent Orange.
Yeah.
That was, that's what got us. I still have the effects of Agent Orange every day.
Is that right?
Yeah. But we were right at the place where that was most heavily sprayed. The DMZ was the most heavily defoliated place on the face of this earth ever in the history of this earth, and all of the runoff from the DMZ came down into the river that we patrolled and took baths in and swam in and everything. We had no idea that we had no idea what was in that river that still affects most of us to this day.
Well, Bill, I'm going to salute you, even though I was never any branch of the service. I'm going to salute you as a civilian to whatever rank you were. And I sure do appreciate what you did in your line.
Well, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Well, that's it, folks. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. And before you go to bed tonight, think about those who died, who gave the final greatest sacrifice that anyone could ever give in service to this republic. Say a little prayer for them. Good night, Annie Poon Allison. I love you, and I miss you.